This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Ready for an awesome episode? Well, so are we. But you know what? Before we get to it, I got to tell you that members of Navy Federal Credit Union could earn more and save more. Bam! Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as our friends at Navy Federal do. Start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit. For example, you could open an Easy Start certificate for just $50. And then how many certificates do this? You can then add money at any time and watch your savings grow. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval. Oh my God, guys, guess who's here?
Me.
Guess who's with us?
Who's with us, Joe?
You know the song. Guess who's back?
Back again.
Paula's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Paula's back. Paula's back. Paula's back. Paula's back.
Who sings this?
She has no idea what we're doing.
Is that actually a song?
That's what I said, Paula. That's what I said. I didn't know that either.
We nailed it.
Wait. I know there's like that Hey Hey Paula song, and then of course there's every song by Paula Abdul. But is that also a song?
Oh God,
this was a minor hit. It was just not a lot of people.
Doug, start the open. Start the open. Let's go.
Okay. All right. So disappointing, Paula. Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and today let's get to the bottom of the things people spend their money on that just aren't worth it. Stackers, you can rest easy and take down all the missing posters because she's finally found and back in the basement where she belongs. From Afford Anything, it's Paula Pant. Plus, we welcome the guy who's the best at finding people. It's the dude who created Hide and Seek. Nah, he's in on the Marco Polo semifinals in Sweden, so we just got Len Penzo. And the man who's always here but trying not to be found, it's OG. But that's not all. Halfway through the show, I'll share my wishful trivia question. And now, a guy who we can't get rid of, it's Joe Salcihide.
I'm constantly found. I was horrible at hide and seek as a kid. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Friday, a very special Friday, because we have the band back together. And let's say hello to the person who we haven't talked to in months. Paula Pant is back. Paula, that was Eminem. Eminem was who that was.
Eminem did a song with the word Paula in it?
Hell no.
It was an adaptation, I think.
I see.
We very well might have.
I mean, my pop culture knowledge, as you can tell, has not progressed. If anything, it has regressed.
You think all that education that you got the last several months, all the degree and everything, and you'd know, I don't
not,
know.
I not a single piece of it was geared towards modern music.
Oh, one star to that education then. That's horrible. And the guy across the card table from me, Mr. OG, is here. How are you, my friend?
Golly, so awesome. It's unparalleled, my awesome feeling.
He's got the tinglies, having Paula back.
Yes.
And the guy who always has the tinglies, just because he showed up for another day, Len Penzo, is here. How are you, man?
Did I tell you about the time I got fired from working at the M&M factory? I was throwing out all the W's, it turns out, and everybody was, you know, they management just couldn't handle it.
Oh my God, where's the there it is. Thank you.
Why couldn't we have Len disappear for 8 months like Paula did?
Well, guys, we got a fantastic show today because it's a special episode, not just because Paula Len and OG are here with us, Doug, but also because we're going to do something we have not done in a few months. But before that, Paula, maybe we need to give you the guide to the show again. Maybe dust that off.
Absolutely.
Okay. Doug, press play on the guide to the show.
Okay, got it.
This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand. Can you play another one?
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. That's the whole guide, Paula, right there.
I'm flabbergasted.
It's amazing. The show has not changed at all since you left.
HR worked for months.
Truly unparalleled. It's perpendicular.
All right. Let's get the party started. Today is a special day because in honor of Paula Pant being back, we are going to... You know that sound. We're going to have a game show. This is where we found... I don't like calling them articles because it cheapens them. But in the case of what we use for fodder for these lists, we found a list article on the internet of a topic that we thought we would bandy about and find out from our three contributors that they can name the things that are on this list. So here's the rules, competitors. You're going to each get a guess worth 1 point, then a guess worth 2 points, and then finally a guess worth 3 points in the final round to see who wins a point toward our year-long trivia competition. Of course, as usual, in the middle of this competition, we'll have our usual trivia competition as well. Today's list comes to us. I won't tell you the publication yet, but it is a top 20 list. We're giving you 20 options, top 20 list of things that aren't worth the money. 20 things not worth the money. I feel like that could be a Len Penzo post right there. Len, how many articles have you written? How many?
It was.
Well, this may or may not be yours and you can't pull it up, but let's go through this. So we're going to play in order of who's winning our year-long trivia competition. And Paula, to bring you up to speed, I've got some good news and some bad news for you.
Am I still in a three-way tie?
You're not experiencing a three-way anything. You are in a tie, and believe it or not, it's for first place.
What?
How does that happen? Oh, gee, we don't have like a gasping noise, like shock on our keyboard of sounds. But you have 7. Len has 7. OG, 2 behind with 5.
Ooh, how the mighty have fallen.
So if I win both today, I can be in a three-way.
And then it could be the most awkward three-way. Right there. Three-way tie. Okay. So that means that OG gets to guess first, which is so weird. And then Paula, you get to guess second because you were between the three of you worst last year. And then Len, as our second place finisher the last couple of years and our champion a couple of years before that, you will unfortunately have to go last in round one. But the good news is you get to go first in round two and then last again in round three. So round one, OG, you're going first. Things that are not worth the money, things you should not buy.
This is such a broad topic. Is there any other clues that we might get here? This is all you can give us here?
That's all I can give you. Yeah. Can't give you.
Let me say it back so that I'm clear. It's the top 20 things that aren't worth the money.
top 20 list of things that aren't worth the money. It says buyer's remorse is real. Let me give you, we'll give you this. I'll give you the subtitle. So sadly, Len, this will identify it as not being from the amazing LenPenzo.com. It says, buyer's remorse is real. And if you purchase any of these 20 items, chances are you'll get to experience it firsthand.
The family size bag of Funyuns.
Wow. this is such a limitless list. It kind of gets rid of like experiences, I would think, but top 20 things that aren't worth it. I'm going to say, like upgraded airline tickets, like first class tickets, economy plus whatever, like some sort of upgraded airline experience.
Is first class upgraded airline on the list? It is on the list. Ooh, that was number
eight. I disagree with this. But
wow, I strongly disagree with that one.
Oh, I do too, but I'm trying to win the contest.
Well, and this is actually my favorite part of the show is how you guys disagree, because generally for people that are new to Stacking Benjamins, the things the three of you come up with are generally better than what's on this list. But let me read you what this piece says. It says, it's cool if you've done it. I haven't. And by the way,
there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
I've heard that it makes you feel special with fun amenities, but let's be honest. Is it worth 10 times the cost if you have to pay for it out of pocket? I can't make an argument for it unless you're going to drink 500 of those small bottles of alcohol. And if that's the case, you likely have bigger issues than paying a lot for your flight, this piece says. Paula, let's start with you. Why do you disagree with that one?
My goodness. Okay. First of all, the author doesn't differentiate if we're talking about some short domestic flight that's maybe, you know, a 1 hour flight versus an international flight. If you are flying from Kansas City to Singapore, you want to be in business class, because if you are not, you are not going to be able to fall asleep, which means you're going to land sleep deprived. You're going to like fall flat on your face before you even make it through customs and immigration. You know, you'll probably inadvertently spit out your gum and then you'll be hauled off to jail. I mean, it's just such a slippery slope. Not to mention, if you are older, like my parents, you know, they're seniors. When they fly to Nepal.
So they graduate at the end of the year? They're graduating at the end of this year?
Yeah, exactly. Such senioritis. Totally. Putting in their college applications right now. But like when they fly to Nepal, I will not let them sit in coach, because to be in such cramped quarters when you're a senior citizen, when my mom has diabetes, you know, like they need to be up, they need to be moving around, they need to be comfortable. For me, like I prefer it, but I'm also young enough and pliable enough to be able to like deal with coach, particularly as you get older, it makes your arthritis flare.
Oh, gee, does your arthritis flare when you're in coach?
Yes. Yeah. I have so many great stories of flying in the back of the airplane. One time we had half of our family in the front and half in the back, and we were separated by one row. It was like 5 versus 6, and it's just how it worked out. And my son sat down and he says, "I'll just take my blanket now." And my wife said, "There's not a blanket here." And he says, "Well, can I have the pillow?" "There's not a pillow." And he, as loudly as he can, at, you know, at his precocious 5 years old, goes, "I bet you're going to tell me there's no food either." So, yes, flying in the front of the bus is a lot nicer.
And that's the way the OG family grew up right there.
Well, that's how the OG kids grow up. The OG family did not grow up that way. But no, I mean, I'm with Paula here. It sucks regardless. It might as well suck less by getting a free couple swigs of Woodford and, you know, and a salad or something.
Len, where do you come down on this? Are you with the author, or are you with Len and OG, or are you with Paul and OG?
You know, for me, when it comes to travel, anything, usually the extra money I think is well worth it. Heck, I think spending a little extra for like those two, they have those economy plus, you get like the extra 5 inches. I think it's worth the extra 5 inches of leg room. So, I mean, I would do that.
You can't.
So first
I'm not,
class by
I'm
all means.
I'm not going to say
you
it.
You can't.
I'm not going to say it.
It's worth the extra 5 inches, isn't it?
First day back. I see nothing change.
We're not.
Couldn't come off mute fast enough.
Hey, Paula, we didn't do it. We didn't say it.
we were all thinking it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I guess I should have said 12 inches or something. No, or
that's ambitious.
Well, let's be factual about how many inches the airlines are giving you. All right. Paula's on the board early with, or Len's on the board.
Nope.
No, she's on the board. Holy crap.
There he is.
I'm going to go. We all get credit for that
points
one.
Away.
You get a point. You get a point.
You get a point. you get a point.
Paula, it's your turn. 19 left on the list. What's something not worth it?
Well, so I was going to say travel insurance, the insurance that you take out when you book a flight or a hotel room. Travel insurance, not worth it.
Is travel insurance worth it? Well, actually, that ding means it's not worth it. And it means that Paula gets the point. And travel insurance, let's see what they have to say about that in this piece. The author says, yes.
Can I predict the author says, I've never actually bought it, but I hear it's a waste.
I've never traveled anywhere, but if I did, I wouldn't buy it.
This, by the way, was specifically flight insurance, but the judges gave you the point. An interesting one here, the person writes, especially given the crazy travel restrictions out there that existed even before the madness of a global pandemic, which in fact most policies don't cover. In general, I never buy flight insurance. I find I barely use it. And worst case, if I can't go on a flight, I'll just pay the few $100 change fee. The one occurrence of paying that change fee is certainly cheaper than buying flight insurance every time I travel. Len, you agree with that? Do you buy travel insurance?
Actually, I have on occasion, and only because of Greg McFarlane. I mean, remember, he regaled us with his problem.
I was just thinking that, Len.
He had an entire trip. I mean, he lost thousands of dollars because of some flight that didn't get there on time, and it cascaded, and everything just fell apart for that guy. So ever since then, I do buy travel insurance.
My feeling on this, Len, because of that story of Greg McFarlane, by the way, former contributor to the show, my feelings change that it's the same as I think with other insurances. If the magnitude of the occurrence happening is big enough, so if it's this hugely expensive trip, I know that's going to be more expensive insurance, but I'm more likely to buy it then. If it's a $200 trip across country, I don't care.
I think a lot of people don't realize. I mean, insurance, you're supposed to insure the things you're not willing to, you know, you really can't cover, or if something happened that you'd really be painful, that you'd lose out. So, I mean, just little things you don't insure. But I mean, something, if you've got a huge expensive trip on the line and, you know, some freak thing's going to happen that you could lose, you know, $10,000, $20,000 for a vacation because of it starts with a flight that doesn't make it to another destination on time, things cascade.
Yeah, that was the story. The flight was delayed, but the railroad across Australia he was going to be on would not honor the fact that the flight was delayed, and he lost his money for all the rest of the travel because of that.
Yeah, I mean, just add it all up. It's a rare occurrence probably, but you know, that's why you have the insurance. And if it's a rare occurrence but a big expense, it's probably worth, you know, not rolling the dice and protecting yourself.
Could this not be solvable by just having an extra day? It's funny that the author's like, you should spend the extra couple hundred bucks on this, but not on first class. Oh, because I think he or she
said... No, the author said don't spend it on flight insurance.
Don't spend it.
Yeah, do not.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
do not. Spend it on flight insurance.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, those big international trips that, you know, you're bringing the family, and it's kind of like the stuff that you've done, Joe. I mean, did you get travel insurance for your big family trips? So, I mean, you just went to Spain. Did you have insurance for that?
We actually did what you said. We showed up a day early and left a day late.
Just come a day early. Yeah, instead of... I mean, that probably is a less expensive option, maybe? I don't know. I'd be curious to know if it'd be just... less expensive just to come a day. You know, you got to pay for an extra hotel room or something. But
I think that's interesting, Paula, what OG says, because I think a lot of times people think just when they think about risk management, all they think about is insurance. And OG just talked about a different way to handle the risk. Like, you know what I mean? We should maybe broaden our horizon a little.
Right, exactly. And I mean, in the case of coming an extra day early, you're paying, quote unquote, paying with your time. But this is a form of payment with your time that will most likely make your trip experience more pleasant. Because if you go an extra day early, you'll also have an additional day to just deal with jet lag, get a good night's sleep. You know, like flying is stressful.
Not in
the
front.
You get an extra day to just decompress and chill.
Especially if you sit in coach.
Yeah. That was another OG kidism. My middle son said, well, I suppose we have to sit in second class.
Second class? Wow. With the little people.
I think about that every time I hear economy plus. I'm like, nope, I'm in economy minus.
Economy minus. That's basic economy. It's like a C minus. It still counts.
All right. That sets the table. That sets the table for Len. OG on the board with one. Paul on the board with one. Len, how about you, man?
Well, I'm going to say, although there are some that are worth it, but I think the majority aren't. So I'm going to say extended warranties.
Oh, is extended warranties on the list?
Yeah, of course not.
I I thought, Len, that it actually was here, but it is not.
Well, that's interesting because I think most extended warranties really aren't worth it. There are a few that are worth it. One in particular I used to take advantage of was when my kids were younger. When we bought them like electronic games and stuff like that, that, you know, they were younger, but they didn't really handle too well, we bought the extended warranties, and those paid for themselves multiple times over, actually. So that was one that I thought was great. But I think in general, an extended warranty really isn't, it's not worth it. They wouldn't put those things out if they weren't, if they were profitable
moneymakers
for them. Yeah.
You know, I used to do it, Len, when I worked out of the house on my phone, because I would always abuse the hell out of my phone. And I found I used that thing on every single phone I had. Now that I'm at home, I can drop it on this carpeted floor all the time and not a big deal. Extended warranties, OG, you agree? Not worth it?
Yeah, not worth it. Although it seems like a lot of places are now turning it into like a prepaid plan. It's like I bought a car a couple of years ago and they're like, oh, we have this warranty program. I'm like, no. It already has a manufacturer's warranty. They're like, well, no, this is like all of your maintenance for the first 3 years. And it's like, okay, well, that's kind of like a prepaid maintenance plan type thing that's kind of sort of like an extended warranty. Although I'll tell you, just like Len, we have used the GameStop return your Xbox controller for $9 a thousand times. We have single-handedly caused GameStop to go out of business because you buy a controller and then they say, oh, for $9, you can, you have this 2-year warranty, and we just take it in after the end of the 23rd month. You go, oh yeah, it's kind of sticking. Mm-hmm. And they give you a brand new one for $9. It's a pretty good deal for us.
And it's covered under the terms of the warranty. So yeah. Why not? Paul, extended warranties?
Not a fan. The one and only one that I bought was, I recently got AppleCare, which I've never before purchased in my life. But after...
On what device?
On my iPhone.
On the phone, okay.
iPhone Pro 14 Max. And after losing...
Of course you do.
Two iPhones in the span of about 5 months, I was like, all right, time to bite the bullet.
Paula, so this is the other thing, though. A lot of credit card companies have protection already built into it. So like... American Express, for example, will give you $800 twice a year for a new phone replacement. If you break it, you know, whatever. If you're paying the bill that's associated with it on your Amex card, I'm sure there's others for other companies as well.
That's the sexiest thing you've ever said to Paula. Look at her face. Wow. Right now. She's so excited about this.
BRB canceling AppleCare. Okay. Noted.
Well, okay. Asterisk. Do your own due diligence on what I just said. Read the terms and conditions to make sure I'm not just summarizing incorrectly. But that's the other thing. It's like the travel insurance we were talking about, like going a day early. A lot of credit cards have like travel interruption protection, basically, of some kind, which can help assuage some of that.
All right. It's the end of the first round. And our score is OG 1, Paula 1, Len 0. OG trying to get back in the game by winning this one. We're going to do round 2 here, and then we will do our trivia competition, come back for round 3. So round 2, Len, you get to go first on round 2, my friend. But this is worth 2 points, so this will give you the lead.
Yes. Okay.
18 still on the board.
Well, I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6 things here. I had 7. The first one I thought was the best wasn't on there, so I think all the rest of these, it's downhill from there. Let's go with, gosh, I'm gun shy now. I'm going to say pet insurance.
Is pet insurance on the list? What's interesting about that one, Len, is that we had a professor on recently from MIT talking about insurances and how insurances get priced. And she said on the show that pet insurance, because of the people that buy it, is the most expensive type of available insurance out there, because pet owners who love their pet buy pet insurance and they're very likely to use it, which jacks up the rate and makes it marginal. The usage is marginal. And I know I get emails every time I say that. If you love your pet, that's fine. Buy pet insurance. Go do you. I'm just saying what that said on the show. But Len, apparently you're not a big fan of pet insurance.
Well, I guess it's a mindset. So this might sound, I don't know, what's the word, maybe crass or look, I'm a huge pet lover, but, and I know people who will spend, their dogs will get cancer or whatever, and they'll spend, I know people have done this. They've spent $10,000 to keep their dog who's got cancer. They put it through chemotherapy and all that stuff. And I'm just, I don't, for me, that kind of, that's like, you know what? Sorry, you're a dog in the end. I'm not going to spend that much. And so there's no reason for me to buy the insurance in the first place. So I just, you know, that's just me. But I guess if you're willing to spend $10,000 on, you know, give your dog chemotherapy, then maybe it is worth it. I don't know.
I think it's funny, Doug, how important some of these things and how nailing it some of these things are that aren't on the list. And we see how dumb some of the ones are that are actually on this list.
That are on the list.
Yeah.
You know, I never really noticed before. We've been on camera with Len for years and years, and I never really noticed the sickle and the dark hood that he wears sometimes. Right.
I like how Fido's a member of the family, except if Fido gets sick.
Yeah.
Until he's not.
Len's the merchant of death now.
Until he needs routine medical care.
I could buy another one of you for $300.
All right. Back to Paula.
Ooh. Fancy watches.
Fancy watches. Is fancy watches on the list?
Darn.
And so you're not a fan of the fancy watch?
No, it's not really worth it. I mean, and by fancy watch, I'm not referring to like something functional like an Apple Watch, because there are many functions that that serves. I'm referring to something that is like a Cartier or a Rolex, you know, some type
of tag.
Yeah, it's luxury for the sake of being luxury.
They don't ever go down in value.
Well, if your objective is to have a side hustle as a Rolex flipper, that is a very different mindset than I simply want to make a consumer purchase and I'm hoping and praying that it's going to financially make sense. In those cases, the justification of I think this financially makes sense is often rationalization for I want to purchase this consumer item.
Yeah, but what are you using the Apple Watch thing, right? Eventually they stop working or stop updating them. You know, right. So I'm buying 10 Apple Watches over my lifetime, or I could have had one Rolex, and then I can pass my Rolex on to my kids.
Well, for an Apple Watch, I'm making the assumption that you're using it to like do your job, and that's going to result in a promotion. It's going to result in more clients, increased income.
And enough money to get a Rolex.
But like, if you want a Rolex, if you legitimately are the type of person who is reading industry insider publications about what's the word? It begins with an H. The study of timepieces. It's not horticulture.
Heuristics?
Begins with an H. What is it?
Heuristics.
I think it's heuristics. Think
right. No, heuristic is a mental model. It's like a mental.
Oh, it is. You're right.
That's right.
It
that's is. Correct. She's right.
But it's a mental model of a watch.
Horologist? Is it a horologist?
Horologist, I think. Horology? Yeah. If you're,
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
It could be the study of something else.
Back when Len was single, he was a horologist.
They're very related, Len, because horology is the science of measuring time, and you have to be very mindful of your time.
I see we're back to measuring again, too.
Oh boy,
because they measure time in hours.
Hold up, terrain.
But yeah, you're right. I just looked it up. It is horology, right? So if you are reading horological magazines, sure.
Is that with an H or a W?
That's
just for the articles.
I've always been obsessed with some of these, like the tag watches out there. I see them and I never buy them. I don't know. Len, do you buy do you buy expensive watches or into expensive watches?
I don't, but you know what? My dad for years wore a counterfeit proudly wore it, a counterfeit Rolex that he got in Tijuana. And that thing looks like the real – there's only one way to tell that thing was fake if you were an expert, and it was how the second hand moved. Second hand was not smooth. That's true. But other than that, it looked like the real thing. He wore that thing all the
time. He had to take his finger and move it.
The time always said now.
But yeah, so I don't get it. I mean, it's like, okay, most people don't even pay. You know, okay, it's like they look at that counterfeit and think it was the real deal. You know, it's hilarious.
Well, guess what? Here at the second round, OG with a chance to, at the very least, send it to overtime.
Overtime? What the heck? Well,
because if he gets 2 points here, that's going to give him three in the third round is 3 points. Oh. So he could force, at the very least, a tie if he gets one of these. 18 still on the list. What are you thinking, OG?
Big waste of money. Sticking with my travel theme. Timeshares.
Oh, you dog. That was on my list.
That's good.
That was on my list.
Timeshares on the list. Timeshares, number 14 on this list. By the way, flight insurance was number 5 on the list. And number 8 was first class travel. Let me read you what 14 says. It says, we grew up using them. They gave a lot of great memories, and I'm thankful my parents had them to use. Now, like the rest of the timeshare-owning universe, my mom's trying to figure out what to do with it. It must be a dozen times a year that clients ask me how to unload their timeshares. Again, people like them and use them, but I don't see them used often enough in the majority of my experience. OG, when it comes to timeshares, one guy who's thinking timeshares are pretty expensive right about now is a guy named Dave Ramsey.
Yeah, Dave Ramsey. Yeah.
What, too soon? Crack that joke.
$150 million lawsuit. Yeah. And he was advocating trying to get you out,
get out of it,
you know, yeah. But the company was, not so great apparently that he was recommending. But, yeah, I mean, I get it. Like if you go to a place, the same place all the time, you stay in the same location, you like the same activity, you know, people did this with Disney. I know lots of people at Disney timeshares. They loved it. And you know, if that's your thing, that's your thing. Have at it. But if you like to do a little bit of exploring or a little bit of variation, probably not so great.
I think that's a big key. I know people that are very financially responsible that own timeshares, but they'll be the first ones to tell you that it is not a money decision. It is not at all a money decision. No. And to the author's point here, I've heard so many horror stories about trying to get out of timeshares. All right. At the end of two... OG with 3 points. You know, we are going to rearrange the third round based on how we go. Len, you're going to get a chance to go first to see if you can force a tie. Then Paula, a chance to force OG to have to get it right. And then OG will go last in the third round. But at the midway part of every show, we actually have another competition. So meta, competition inside of a competition. But we've got a year-long trivia competition going on at the halfway point of every show. As I mentioned before, Len with 7, Paula with 7, OG with 5, maybe getting close to a chance at having 6 already. He could force a 3-way tie, but we need a question for the three of you to answer. And Doug, you've got the question. What do we got on tap today?
Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And I mean, who doesn't love to waste money? I mean, you say it's waste. I call it an investment for my entertainment. You waste your money the way you want, and I'll invest mine the way I want. I don't want to pass judgment because I love a scratch-off just as much as the next guy, but people do waste some serious coin on lottery tickets. Americans spend an average of $86 per month on lottery tickets, even when the odds of winning the lottery are 350 billion to one. I've done the math, and I've got a better chance of bowling a perfect 300 game. I'll take those odds. My trivia question today is, how much money did Americans blow on lottery tickets collectively in 2017? I'll be back right after I go through the trash and have the gas station attendee check the trashed scratch-offs for a winner. Luck favors the bold.
Funny, the Lacey Langford, who helps us write our show, said that was a thing around the military bases where she worked. People would go through the trash looking for scratch-offs that people had thrown away that actually were winners. I'd never heard of that before, but, and I thought I grew up pretty desperate for money. Right. Len, you unfortunately, sir, have to guess this one first. How much money did we spend collectively on lottery tickets in 2017?
Well, I'm a little disappointed because Doug said 2017. I know the answer for 2019 and 2015, but 2017, I just have not studied that. So, Let me take the mean. Yeah. Gosh, I bet it's a lot. You're saying the lottery, right? Not like.
Yes.
Is this like Powerball or is this like, I assume it's
Powerball. This is all lotteries.
All lotteries. Yeah, it's got to be, I bet it's $5
billion. $5 billion with a B dollars. Paula, what are you thinking?
Man, it makes sense that the order of magnitude is in the billions.
Well, thank you, Paula.
I'm thinking low billions. I'm going to go 1.2.
1.2 billion. So, OG, we got 5 billion and 1.2 billion. What are you thinking?
Didn't Doug say that the average person spends 86 bucks a month?
I did.
So yep. Is it not just 86 times 12 times 350 million Americans? Did I miss something in there? I mean, that's not
give
the
right.
Give it
a shot. See how that works out for you.
Yeah. Try it out. It can't be because, I mean, you think of like the Powerball, right? And they say the Powerball is $1 billion. That's not any state's benevolence. That's the money that they're going to give to the person who wins it, right, over time. So then you take the cash value number of that. But the states get half of that also, roughly, I think, right? So, I mean, the states are getting equal to what the winner gets. That's part of the deal. So there's twice as much money. And every, you know, there's you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of lottery winnings every single year. So I'm with Len. This is a big number. And I'm just going to say $5 billion and 1 cent.
You dog.
Sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Talk to the competition committee in the future about that.
We got them all locked in. We'll be right back with the answer. Stackers, controlling your money on a day-to-day basis comes down to two things. Number one, great communication, either with yourself or with a partner. And by great communication, what do I mean? I mean, sitting down with your app of choice and putting together your strategy based on what you spent the week before. It's super easy, a 20-minute meeting a week. You look through your expenses and then you plot out what are you going to do next week. And you know what? That might seem little, but the big things stem from that. And if you have an app that keeps that in front of you, that helps make it even easier. And the app Cheryl and I use is Monarch Money. We've been using it now for about a year. As you may know, I've used lots of different solutions, and this is by far the one I've stuck with the longest. It helps Cheryl and I collaborate. We can talk about our financial goals. For us, it's travel. We're also adding to our house. We have a goal in a few years to really work on our lawn as well and just make it a pretty place to live. But the travel piece, as you know, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, that's a big one. And what's cool is I can put our financial independence goals and our journey up right next to our budget, because everything at Monarch is very intuitive. It is very customizable. So what the heck is Monarch? You're sitting there wondering to yourself, aren't you? Person I just made up. Yes. Let me tell you what it is. It's an all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you comprehensive view of all your accounts, your investments, your transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track your progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, Stackers, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. Got to have the slash Benjamins to get the extended 30-day free trial so you can see that you'll like it as much as I do. How does it work? Well, it's very intuitive. It has a simple, intuitive design that makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can collaborate with your partner, family, or your financial advisor. What's cool is you can invite all these people to your account at no extra cost, so you can collaborate, and everybody gets their own login info, and everybody gets a joint view of your finances. And as I mentioned earlier, it's customizable, and best yet, it's ad-free privacy you can trust. No ads. You're not being marketed. When I had other apps that were free, I got marketed all the time. Well, not only do they not do that, they also don't sell your data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself and using it for about a year now on a daily basis, I totally get why it's the top rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's Monarch Money, MONARCHMONEY.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Len, you opened up with $5 billion. What do you think? Feeling good?
Well, I also opened up with extended warranties, which is a good answer, and that didn't help me. So I'm going to... No, I'm not. I think OG's got this.
Paula, OG took the upside, but you've got all the smaller numbers. What are you thinking?
I think I forgot how strategy on guessing. I completely forgot. What do we even call? Do we call it pulling a Penzo? Is it, or is it pulling a, what do we?
It still is a Chelsea Brennan.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Still is a Chelsea Brennan.
Pulling a Penzo is a way different activity.
It's different. Yes. That goes back to his 5 inches of leg room.
Oh boy.
Yes, I completely forgot about Chelsea Brennaning. So, man, I should have guessed 4.99999.
You still have half of that upside anyway. OG, you feeling good at 5.1 billion?
Yeah, it's a way big number, but I don't need to worry about it. It's a big number. None of us are close.
Let's have Doug worry about it. Doug, are they close?
Somebody's right. It's a way big number. Hey there, stackers. I'm Lady Lux Masseuse, an expert... Oh, wait, no, that says Lady Lux Muse. Sorry, maybe I'm both. Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. We're talking about one of the top money wasters for Americans, lottery tickets. Even though the odds of winning are less than getting struck by an asteroid or becoming a movie star every year, the possibility of becoming a millionaire draws people into gas stations across the country like a siren calling ships to the rocks. My question was, how much money did Americans blow on lottery tickets collectively in 2017? Well, our late returnee Paula was off by just $70.6 billion. Len was off by $66.8 billion, which means OG was off by like $66.799999999 billion. OG's our winner because the real number is $71.8 billion. And if you got it right, you got a gambling problem.
I think maybe. Congratulations, OG, trying to complete a both things, a two-pointer day.
Don't call it a comeback.
I've been
here for years.
Oh, listen to that. Time for the second half of this shindig. Our show today brought to you by depositaccounts.com. Paul, you know what happens when you go to depositaccounts.com?
You find out that the normal deposits you make are nowhere near the best in class?
Exactly. Yes. The sister site of Magnify Money is the place where you go to compare savings accounts, checking accounts, CD rates, and everything. CD rates. First time, OG, when we had somebody call the Haven Lifeline recently, have we actually said you might want to check CD rates. CD rates changing. StackyBenjamins.com/deposit accounts gets you to depositaccounts.com. All right. We have on tap for today, let's review back to our regularly scheduled competition that we had to interrupt for our other competition. The score, OG has 3, Paula has 1, Len has 0. But this is 3-point land, everybody. The exciting final round. Len trying to get a piece of overtime. If he ties, he can force an overtime. Len, there's still good news. There's still 17 of them on here. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I should have went with time. I had timeshares on my list. And my intuition's just terrible today. Well, I'm going to say it's between the rental movie The Good German and expedited shipping. Boy, that was a terrible movie, by the way. Boy, that probably Clooney's worst. I'm going to say expedited shipping.
Is expedited shipping on the list?
Should have went with a good German. I knew that was on.
Is a good German on the list? No. I could safely tell you that is not on the list either. Okay. Sadly, Len 0 for 2 on his guess. But expedited shipping. But what if you need it in a hurry?
Amazon Prime.
Well, then I guess it's a good thing, isn't it? Maybe that's why it wasn't on the list.
Len, if you need the chaps to complete the outfit and everybody's waiting.
Can we end this episode right now so I can just...
Len's like, look at this. I'm out of here. I'm 0 for 3. I am completely out of here.
Yeah.
I just noticed in the background, I see the 8-ball, but did you buy yourself 2 trophies?
No, some of us earn those. You know, we've earned those. I'm 2 trophies short. I never got any trophies for my 2 victories.
It's a rotating trophy. I have to write my name on it.
Wait a minute. No, I think those are Plutus Awards.
Those are 2 Plutus Awards.
Those are Plutus Awards.
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought you were, you know.
Can you tell which one was from the early Plutus Awards? Can you see how it kind of deflated as the years?
Yeah, the bigger one. The bigger one on the right. For people not joining us on YouTube, we've got 2 Plutus Awards. That, as we've explained before, it's a great award and it honors a lot of great creators, but it does look like you took 3rd place in U8 soccer.
It's not quite the Stanley Cup.
It is not. No. In fact, did we try to drink? Oh, gee, we tried to drink out of ours one time and that thing leaks. That thing, you can't drink out of the Plutus Award.
No recollection of that, Senator.
Sadly, yeah. Can neither confirm nor deny. All right, Paula. If you don't get this one right, OG doesn't even have to go. So
default. I win by default.
Ah, man, it's a toss up between, like, I was thinking kind of various beauty related things, but in honor of today's trivia question, I think my guess is going to be
No. By the way, I forgot to. So we're going to take that back, Paula, because I forgot to tell everybody that we chose lottery tickets because it wasn't on the list.
Got it. Oh, well, thank you. All right, well.
Back to beauty products.
My thinking is costly beauty products or beauty services. There's a lot, and it can get very expensive, and it can really add up. So I would say the broad category of, like, high-priced or luxury beauty.
Tell me about it.
Man, can we get
high price?
How broad can you? Can I have said, you know, I don't know.
Very expensive things at the store.
That nobody likes. I mean, my
goodness.
The
mall. There's things at the mall that one could buy that are very expensive.
Make you feel good about yourself.
Broadly speaking.
Is high-end beauty products on the list? And that means OG is our winner. OG is our winner. And yet, Paula, some of those expensive beauty products, I was just reading a piece the other day that perfumes are really coming back. Scents for men and for women. And they're very seriously that companies are seeing this trend, like people are wearing more perfumes than ever before.
I had a dude ask me what I smelled like. I was like, what? He's like, I like that smell. What is that?
Oh, and OG God. Said shower.
Yeah.
Irish
You're
spring.
Like, thanks. It's Arm & Hammer.
Dove antiperspirant. Thanks for asking.
It is fantastic. Well, let's go over the 17 that you guys did guess that are on this list. Number one, I was sure that Len would get because Len has complained about a few of these before. Number one is boats. Boats not worth it, they say.
Boats and hose. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. That you can have a lot of fun with a boat, but that's a big time depreciating asset. Number two on the list, I personally disagree with. They say fire pits are not worth the money, and that is bullshit.
Wow. So extended warranties wasn't on the list, but fire pits was.
Fire pits are.
That's fantastic.
Fire pit is. Okay.
Yes. Number three on
the
list.
I've never sat around a fire pit before, but I could imagine it would really suck. It'd be hot and sweaty.
And that's actually the thing, OG, is that to defend my honor on fire pits, I sat around a lot of crappy fire pits and you're always getting up and you're moving around and man, just to have that solo stove, so much better. Number three, solo, if you want to sponsor this podcast, by the way, for the 87th time. Number three, pool tables, not worth the money. A pool table.
This tells you a lot about
that,
the author.
It's kind of a weird list.
Boats, fire pits, pool tables.
Here's
I hate
stuff
vacations.
I've spent money on.
Yeah. Fun is not worth the money. Fun. It's
upper. If you like hanging out with your friends, this is
not worth the money.
I agree. I agree with this next one coming up. Number four.
Is it foosball tables?
Number four is a famous Lempenzo one. I thought he'd get this one. Hot tubs. Len has had a whole piece about how hot tubs aren't worth the money, haven't you, Len?
Absolutely not. No.
Hot tubs are 100% worth the
money.
Hot tubs are not worth the money 99% of the time, but there's going to be one night where you say, oh my God, this was so worth it.
Oh, you're
where
thinking all of the magic could happen. And now I was talking about whirlpool tubs, like in your bathroom. Is that what they're talking about? Or are you talking about a hot tub that's out that sits out in the backyard?
No, I'm talking about a hot tub, but you're right. Yours was whirlpool.
Whirlpool tubs, yes. Those are definitely not worth
okay.
it.
I like both of those things.
Between boats, fire pit, pool table, hot tub. This is just a list of stuff that you could never get in New York City, is what this right. is.
You couldn't fit them anywhere. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Fire pit, not worth it because the fire department bill is not worth it. Number six, top shelf alcohol. Not worth it.
And we just lost OG.
What? And it's gone.
Oh my God.
To be fair though, if you're doing any sort of mixer, like if you're doing, you know, like Doug likes vodka and cranberry, does it really matter what kind of vodka it is?
No, in that fact, part's you true. Picked an interesting example because all vodka.
The first two
is
drinks, it matters. The first two drinks, it absolutely matters. After that, then it doesn't.
If it's a heavy booze, like if it's a martini where it's like booze with a side of booze, then yeah, probably. But if you're going to doctor it up with some Dr. Pepper or, you know, a Diet Coke or what, like who gives a crap what kind of whiskey's in your Diet Coke at that point? Just
right. But if you're drinking whiskey neat or whiskey on the rocks, I mean, get the good stuff.
Then it will matter. Absolutely. It's like wine. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to have the good stuff.
Our Detroit friends are going to have a field day with number seven on this list. Premium gas, not worth it.
Oh, that was on my list. That was on my list. Gosh darn it.
It matters with some engines. It's not just
matters with your engine warranty for your manufacturer.
Yeah, some cars absolutely need it. That's true. There's no doubt about it.
Yes. My truck does. And if I don't, if I try to go cheap for like three tanks, you can notice the engine perform. You can hear it.
Go with 83 octane in my Ferrari. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Knocks like
That's
crazy.
That's true.
All of our friends in healthcare will nod their head at number nine on this list because they've seen the injuries. Trampolines, not worth it. Trampolines.
You know, those things used to be called jumpalines before Doug's mom got on one.
True story. Number 10.
You're killing me. Oh my God, you're killing me.
OG beat me to it. Number 10, not worth it. Bottled water. Not worth what you pay.
That's on my list too. Unbelievable.
Unless you're in Tijuana.
Number 11, RVs.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Number 12, how about this one, Paula Pant? Expensive colleges. Not worth it.
It depends on what you study. And it also depends on how much money you have going in. But it depends on a lot of different factors.
It depends on what you're thinking about too. You see these things about networking and how people from certain colleges network mm-hmm. to earn lots more money. So it depends on how much
you take advantage of. Business plan that goes with that school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's more worth it a little bit later in life.
Yeah. Yes. 13 is expensive weddings. Not worth it. I think we could all probably agree on that. Number 15, Paula, you were close to this one. New designer handbags. Not worth it. Mm. OG is down with that. He doesn't like his designer handbags.
Oh, crap.
Number 16, expensive TVs. Not worth it.
False.
Number 17, speaking Len
like,
of...
I like my TV.
Yeah, I disagree with that one, actually.
Yeah, it's funny because I when we bought our house here in Texarkana, I went with a premium TV and for our TVs, and I have not regretted it. It's been great. Number 17... This one also takes us back, Len, to the old days when Greg McFarlane was here. Wine at restaurants, not worth it. Remember Greg?
What?
Ranting.
What the?
What are you supposed to drink? Water? Not out of a bottle?
It's called pregame. Pregame, OG.
What?
Number 18 on the list, expensive vacuums. Number 19 is a weight set. And number 20 is new musical instruments.
This list blows.
This list blows. Okay, vacuums, a weight set, and what?
You know what I think this was? I think this was a trick. This was a trick by Joe and Doug to see if we actually cheat when we play these games. Can you imagine if one of us would have said, you know, expensive vacuums or, you know.
Vacuum cleaner.
I mean,
I would like you to would go have known we were cheating. Bench.
This piece was on Kiplinger and was written by Andrew Rosen, CFP. So congrats to Andrew
needs to get out more.
The most boring CFP in the country.
Does Cameron Halston still work at Kiplinger?
She does not.
Oh, okay.
She is not there anymore.
I'd file a complaint with Cameron on that one.
There, yes. If Cameron had written it, it would have been much better. Hey, that's going to do it for today. Congratulations to OG for making it a three-way tie. We now are going into next week, 777. So let's find out.
Speaking of lottery winnings.
There it is. Let's find out what's going on where you guys are. OG, big plans this weekend?
Golf tournament, baby.
golf tournament.
Got my brother in town. We're going to try to win one way or the other.
Just can't imagine trying to win with Steak Brother.
Oh, he's awful at golf. But we might win the how many beers can you consume in 2 days competition.
With his 34 handicap, he only needs to show up on like two holes. He has two good holes.
Yeah, he's a 27. And it's,
you're golden.
I mean, you've played with him. He's bad, isn't he? I mean, I love my brother.
I feel great about my game.
He is bad. I love playing with him. He tries hard. It's, you know, he puts in the old college try, but dang, it's tough.
Mr. Penzo, what's going on at lenpenzo.com?
Well, you know, the 777 thing got me thinking. You know, did I tell you the story? There was this one day, there was this guy, he was a 77-year-old man, and he was born on July 7th. And for a long time, he was making $77,777.77 a year. And he was actually 7 years into a new marriage, and he had seven children from a previous marriage, and his lucky number was seven. Did I tell you this story before? No. Anyways, he got a phone call from a good friend, and after, you know, they exchanged some pleasantries, and this friend said, "Hey, I tell you what, there's a horse named Lucky Seven. It's scheduled to run in the seventh race. It's number seven on the horse is actually number seven." And the man was like, "Oh my God, this is incredible. I have just got to bet on this horse." So he goes down to the track and he bets $77,777.77 on Lucky Seven to win the race. And guess what happened? The darn horse came in seventh place. Yep. I guess I didn't tell you that one.
Oh, welcome back, Paula.
Hey, anyways, at lenpenzo.com this week, we're talking about the ethics of found money. And it's actually a great discussion. There's like over 100 people chimed in with their money finding stories and whether they turned in their money they found or they kept it. So stop on by.
I'd be taught a lesson.
I think we all know the rule, Len. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
That's right? Exactly what I say. Isn't that but not everybody agrees.
Isn't that the mantra? Yeah. Paula Pant, what's the heck's going on at Afford Anything now that she's back?
Oh, man. So I am back full-time officially. Today is my third day back on the job. I came back June 1st.
And you're exhausted already.
I
mentally.
There's a lot. There's like 10 months worth of stuff that's piled up. But we've got a lot of plans for the rest for the year ahead. A lot of great things in the pipeline that we are working on. Meanwhile, on the podcast, we have an interview with Steve Chu. He wrote a book called The Family First Entrepreneur, all about how to run a business without sacrificing your family time, without sacrificing what matters most. So we've got that interview on the Afford Anything podcast, plus this dude named Joe Salcihi.
Who?
I know, right?
Oh, that guy's great.
He's okay. He's fine. But he joins us to answer questions, as always, from y'all.
And that's on the Afford Anything podcast, where finer podcasts are distributed.
Only the finest.
All right. That's going to do it. For Paula's first episode back, I think that even the East German judge thought we stuck that landing, guys. That was a lot of fun.
No, it wasn't.
Mr. Doug, what should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, first, take some advice from our panel and don't spend your hard-earned money on things that aren't worth it. Second, value is in the eye of the beholder. Just ask a stranded traveler or a Kardashian without makeup. But the big lesson, if you're going to dumpster dive, wear a rubber suit and keep your mouth closed, you've got to really get in there and dig to find the treasure. You know, at least that's what that group of teenagers told me to do. Thanks to Paula Pant for joining us again. You'll find Paula's amazing podcast, Afford Anything, wherever slightly above average podcasts are found. Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us today. You can find Len at lenpenzo.com/extra5inches. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2023, and is created by Joe Salcihi. Our producer is Karen Repine. This show was written by Lacey Langford, who's also the host of the Military Money Show, with help from me, Joe, and Doc G from the Earn and Invest podcast. Kevin Bailey helps us take a deeper dive into all the topics covered on each episode in our newsletter called The 201. You'll find The 411 on all things money at The 201. Just visit stackingbenjamins.com/201. Tina Eichenberg makes the video version of this show. Once we bottle up all this goodness, we ship it to our engineer, the amazing Steve Stewart. Steve helps the rest of our team sound nearly as good as I do right now. Want to chat with friends about the show later? Mom's friend Gertrude and Kate Youngkin are our social media coordinators, and Gertrude is the room mother in our Facebook group called The Basement. So, say hello when you see us posting online. To join all the basement fun with other stackers, type stackingbenjamins.com/basement. Not only should you not take advice from these nerds, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show.
You can find Doug at hashtag jumpling.
Unemployed.
All right, that's going to do it.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of today's episode. But one thing that we talked about a little bit today, but we talk about a lot, is you got to have good partners on your team, stackers. And you know what? Navy Federal Credit Union could be that partner, because becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. And aren't those two of the big tenets, right? Have a debt strategy, earn more, save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. I think that's the coolest certificate. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt. Well, as you're putting your plan together, you want to also have a debt strategy, right? And you could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing cost, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Don't get in over your head with debt. Make sure you have a great strategy and then take out debt as you need it. And Navy Federal's options certainly give you the flexibility to help you make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval.
Unrelated, but I'm asking if you heard it.
No, I didn't.
Okay. So do this. You don't have to do it right now, but write out the number 7 and then below it, write 77 and below it, 777 and below it, 7,000. Like, you know, you just kind of write it vertically, like on a piece of paper, and then read it out loud to yourself. And well, God, I'm trying to figure out how to do this over the Zoom thing. It just like, cause there's a setup to it. It's a very interesting kind of trick. Do you want to try it?
Dude, we have to listen to your 5-minute joke setups all the time. Yes, you have to do this.
Okay. All right. Okay. So hold on.
I'll do it.
Hold on. Doug, I'm going to text you something just for verification purposes. Okay. Don't say what I texted you.
Okay.
There you go. Okay. Can you see that, Glenn?
Yep.
Okay. Read it top to bottom out loud.
7777777.
No. The actual numbers.
Like 777.
777, 777, 7,777, 77,777, 777,777, 7,777,777, 77,777,777, 777.
It's the first vegetable you think of.
Eggplant.
No, you did. You thought about that very long. That's interesting. Okay. If you did this with 100 people, 90 people will say carrots. It's weird. It's
really
weird.
It's, I did celery, like immediately.
Carrot was the first one I thought of.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why. It's like I've done this with all sorts of people randomly. And when you started saying it, I said it under my breath. I said it's a carrot, which I thought that's where you were going with this. Some kind of weird, you know, coordination.
I wonder
that.
If you could not do this. A, either the numbers don't matter at all, or just don't do any, like you could write all fours. I would just wonder if you ask people, what's the first vegetable you think of? Is carrot going to be the most common thing? People, yeah. If you ask people for a fruit, yeah. You're going to get oranges a lot.
I think that's more like it. Yeah, that's more likely.
But doesn't it kind of, maybe it looks like a carrot too, subconsciously, like the way that it's, you know, kind of like a little triangle.
Yeah.
Carrots are triangles. Anyways, yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting because a lot of people, I've done this off and on. You can try it out, but I've done this off and on. And
that actually reminds me of my favorite magic tricks that I saw. Who is the guy? Doug, you would know this guy. He was a long time in Vegas. They actually did a documentary about his life. He had this debilitating illness and passed away. It was like Dave somebody or other.
It wasn't David Copperfield, was it?
No, he didn't die. David Copperfield's alive. Yeah. No, this guy was very funny. He had this assistant who was hilarious. She was like, oh, all over the place. And he was mostly a comedian, but he invites this guy up on stage and he's got all of these cards and he has the guy pick a card and then he takes the cards. He has the guy chuck them across the stage. And so then he walks around the stage and he picks one up and he goes, is this your card? And the guy goes, no. And he goes, would it be cool if it was? And that was the whole joke. Like he just picked up a card.
Well, at least Paula verified one of three, I guess.
There's one human. So
thank you.
One human Paula, on the show. Sure. Thank God she's back.
Amazing Jonathan.
Amazing Jonathan. That was him.